not only did we get to gather this morning to worship as we do every Sunday, to worship, to honor God, but also today we get to celebrate the faith and the influence of our mothers here. It is with our moms and our dads, but because of your guys' love, care, and concern, your kids are in the church. And I say, good for you. Who knows, that's the best place for your kids to be. Amen. That's right. And so it's not just for mom. So I don't want you to think because there's a flower and it looks girly. Listen, the gospel's for everybody. And so today, this is for all of us. So don't shut it out. Don't close it off because you think I'm preaching a Mother's Day sermon. That's the last thing that I'm doing. And so let's stand. No, let's not stand. It's a long scripture today. Turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of 2 John, first chapter. There's only one chapter. It's 13 verses long. We're going to read the whole thing this morning. 2 John. It's in between 1 and 3 John. Do you know? It's towards the end of your Bible. 2 John, if you have your Bible and somebody next to you doesn't, would you just be so kind to share with them this morning? Otherwise, direct them to the screen because the scripture will be on the screen as we get going this morning. And as you're finding that, I just want to challenge all of us with this. If we're going to be a church that stands firm, if we're going to be a church that stands firm in a world of shifting truth, we see that every day, don't we? Shallow love and spiritual confusion. Guess what? We have to walk in truth, we have to live in love, and we have to stay grounded in discernment. Those are three things that we must do. And this is, in fact, this is the kind of walk that John is calling us to in 2 John this morning. And so, if you've got your place in your Bible, let's read this morning. It is the whole book of 2 John. There's one chapter and 13 verses. And it says this morning, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you." That's a lot. We're going to look at three main things in it today. But the first thing I want to bring out to you, when it talks about the elect lady and her children, or your elect sister, as we see here in verse 13, John is figuratively saying the church and its members. So engage church and the body that represents. It's not literal mother and her children. It is a figurative way to say the church and its members. And the big idea of this scripture today is before we split it apart into the three things I want to point out today, the main truth of this is that when we walk in truth and we walk in love and we are led by the Holy Spirit and we are grounded in Christ, we leave a lasting witness in a world full of deception. Your life leaves a legacy. Follow where we're going here. It will leave a lasting legacy in a world full of deception. So beware, do not be deceived. Do not be led astray by the lies and the deception of the enemy. Our first point that we want to dive into this morning is the truth, and it comes from verse 2. And this is where we're going to start with our focus today. It says, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. And John makes it very clear here that the Christian life isn't built on feelings or trends. Truth is not subjective. It's built on objective truth, and that truth, guess what? That truth is a person. Anybody want to take a guess of who that person is? Jesus. It's okay, you can say his name. Thank you. Jesus. So Jesus is that person. In fact, John chapter 1, and by the way, when I was writing this, it was really cool. Has anybody heard of Indiana Bible College? So a couple weeks ago, their choir did a song. It's called John 1. The Word was with God and is God. And I sent it to my board and said, check this out. It just worked perfectly with this, and maybe I should have gotten a clip to play for you. But here's what John chapter 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And guess what? The Word was God. So the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And I want to submit to you today that Jesus Christ is the unchanging, living Word of God. He is the foundation of our faith. The Holy Spirit further anchors this truth in our life. He reminds us of Christ's teaching. He helps keep us rooted when the world shifts. How do you know what's truth? We know what's truth by being in the Word, and the Word is Christ. And when we are in the Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to keep us rooted, and it's not something that we know. Truth is not necessarily something that we know, it's something that we live because of Christ Jesus. So truth isn't walked out just in words. It's not enough to have truth in our life. Do you know that you have to live it out? We have to put some action to what we know. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Love walks in obedience. Love walks in obedience. This comes from verse 6, and it says this, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. So love is what? Obeying the commands of Jesus Christ. This is how we know that we love. Real love, we base it in our society and in how we do stuff. Love is really kind of known as a feeling that we have, right? When you see your spouse after not seeing them for, I don't know, maybe it's an hour for some of you, and some of you could go a month before you saw them again. But I hope what happens is when you see them, you get butterflies. Hey, that's my wife, or that's my husband. I love them. They're the one for me. It's a feeling, right? It's emotional. Can anyone testify, right? We know that love is really kind of a feeling that we have. But I'm here to submit today the love that we are talking about is not a feeling, but rather it's obedience. It's living out the truth that we believe. Because love without truth, guess what that is? Hollow. Love without truth is really nothing. But love that is grounded in truth, that is shaped by the Word of God, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, guess what? It will transform lives, and it will unite the church. Unity in the church is the most important thing we can have. So this isn't a love that we can try hard enough to produce. Who's ever said, if I can just be good enough, if I can just do this, if I can this, or they're disappointed in me, I need to be better. Listen, this is not a love that we can produce on our own. This is nothing that we are capable of. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can come to this point of having this love. We in ourselves do not want to be obedient to the Word of God. It is in our nature to do what? To sin. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are empowered to walk in obedience. He empowers us, the Holy Spirit empowers us to love sacrificially. Even when it hurts, He leads us there. Even when it's hard to do, He empowers us to forgive when it hurts. Forgive when it doesn't make sense. He empowers us to stand for truth when it's costly. Has standing for the truth ever cost you anything? He empowers us to lay down our lives for others just as Christ did for us. This is the evidence of a life transformed by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll submit to you today that love that is rooted, love that finds itself deep in the Word of God, living it, and it has an endurance that those who don't have. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. When life gets hard for somebody who's not well-rooted, everything goes haywire, doesn't it? They don't know what's happening. They don't know what's next. They don't know if they even know Jesus and this and that. If we are rooted, we have an endurance. It is not a passing feeling. It is not just something that we do here and then we hit our lows and then we hit our highs. But rather, it's a spirit-driven commitment to live out the commands of Christ. Even in the darkest hour, somebody who is rooted has great confidence in who Jesus is in their life. And we surely know people like that. Aspire to be that. Aspire to know that whatever happens, God is in control. I think I stood up here 2 weeks ago and I said, no matter what happens in life, Jesus Christ is enough. The person of Christ Jesus is enough. It doesn't matter if I lose my leg tomorrow because whatever, it decides to fall off tonight. Jesus Christ is still enough. If I lose my voice, Jesus Christ is still enough. It is His presence that matters most. It's not prestige. It's not title. It's not position. It's nothing but Christ Jesus. Who knows that Christ is the only way that we get to heaven? It's not based off of my performance. It's not whether you sung this morning at a certain decibel when you were praising Jesus, but rather it is in the person of Christ Jesus alone that we are saved. But even love without clarity. Now this is important. We gain clarity by being in the Word of God. We gain clarity by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to show us, to tell us. And without clarity, if we have the wrong understanding of what this says, and we have never challenged our thinking, we have never said, I wonder if this is what this really means. Do you know that love without clarity, guess where it leads? Compromise. All of a sudden you start finding yourself making excuses for why we should do this or why it's okay or why this isn't a sin or Jesus led me here. Listen, Jesus is never going to lead you through sin to bless you. Let me say that again. Jesus is not going to have you walk into sin so on the backside of that you can say, oh, He's really blessing me. He led me here. No, He didn't. You led yourself there and you had to put a good spin on it so you felt like it was Jesus leading you there. I had it doesn't matter who, they're not here, I'll just say that. I had a couple once tell me that Jesus led them through an adulterous affair so they could be together and that the Lord was blessing them. And I said, Jesus doesn't start by leading us into sin. He saves us from sin. And so you have a very twisted misunderstanding of who Christ is if you think He led you into an affair and then brought you two together so you could live a sanctified life. That is not at all how it works. And I'm sorry if I'm speaking to anybody's situation this morning, but it's just not the case. Jesus died to free us from sin, not to lead us into sin. And so if we don't have that clarity, if we don't have that love and that clarity for the understanding of His truth, it leads us to a spot where we compromise. Don't compromise. Seniors, next week we're going to honor you, but I need you to hear this today. Do not compromise. You know who you are in Christ. You have the grounding of a relationship with Him. As soon as you walk out of these walls, as soon as you walk into college, where's Braden? Braden, how different was Iowa State when you walked on first onto campus versus New Sharon, Iowa? Culture shock, isn't it? When I went to Iowa State, my first day at Iowa State, classes are going, I'm on the bus, riding the bus from my apartment to the campus, and at the bus stop I dropped off at, there are students standing there with duct tape on their mouth, holding signs, and I thought, who are these people? We don't see this in Sigourney. This is insanity to me. You are going to be challenged in ways that you don't even understand yet. And this is for everybody. Every day, Satan is working to get you to compromise your relationship with Christ Jesus. Because if he can get you to compromise, guess what? He can get you to walk away from Jesus, to start making excuses, to start justifying being away from the church, not opening your Bible, never getting on your knees and crying out before God of things going on in your life. If he can just get you to compromise, how effective are we as Christians? How good is my testimony if I am willing to compromise my very relationship for a temporary pleasure in life? So make no mistake. Have some clarity behind what you're reading, who you're following, what you're listening to. And this leads us beautifully into our next point. And so John finishes this short letter with a stern caution to exercise discernment, to exercise some common sense, to protect what God has entrusted to us. If you have received the gospel message, guess what? He has entrusted you with that message. He has entrusted you with it. It is your responsibility to now go forth and tell others about that gospel message. Because why? He didn't say, hold this and hide it for yourself. He said, I'm entrusting you with this. Go and make disciples. It's not just for missionaries. It is for the church body to make disciples. If you want me to bring people to church so you don't have to, you're going about it the wrong way. Every one of us, from times that we have done this in the past, I've asked you to raise your hands if you know anybody who does not have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Every hand in the room goes up every time. Guess what? Your sphere of influence is different than mine. Doug, you work with guys that I'll never meet. I don't have an influence with them. Guess what? You working with them every day and showing them who Doug is how we share the gospel. I could call out everybody's name in here, but for sake of time, we won't do that. But if God has entrusted us with the gospel, we must tell others, but we must exercise some common sense, which we know as discernment. So our third and final point this morning is have discernment. And this comes from verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Even in the day that this was written by John, the weight of these words warned the original reader, and it even warns us today that deception is a real danger and it's out there. Who can testify that deception is out there today? It is all over in the church today even. These deceivers, their plan, their hope, they're out there pulling people away from Christ. Christ. They'd rather see you separated from a relationship with Christ than to be in a relationship with Christ. And these deceivers, these false teachers, they are perverting the message of God's word. And they are attempting to persuade Christians to accept their views as faith. Here in March, we had Santiago Guerrero here, a missionary to the Mormon Church, Latter-day Saints, and that was it, Mormon and Latter-day Saints, went through and shared how their messages, though, and I'm not trying to pick on them, but that is a false gospel. Full stop. They are leading people away from Christ and into a religious activity that brings nothing of value into their life at all. So this is the thing that John was warning us to be on, to exercise this discernment. And they deny these deceivers, these false teachers. They will deny that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, born of a virgin, through his sacrificial death that provides forgiveness of sins for all who accept him by faith and who entrust their lives to him. Further, they deny that he is the true God and the eternal one. They don't believe John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The church and God's people, listen, this is for all of us. We must not be naive. We must not be naive in this. This isn't just a call for me as the pastor or our board or our ministry leaders, our worship team. It is a call for every believer. You must, if I can say it one more time to emphasize this, you must be in the Word of God. If you are only coming here on Sundays thinking you're going to be fed, you're going to go away hungry. I'm just going to say there should have been a lot more amens to that. Amen. If you are coming here and you are only letting Sunday morning be what feeds you, you are going to be hungry. Remember back to my fire illustration I used a couple weeks ago. If we build a big fire on Sunday, but then we don't add kindling through the week, guess what happens? That fire dies out. Then you're coming here on Sunday needing to rebuild that fire to get reignited. Instead, if we just continue to add fuel to that fire through the week, guess what next Sunday could be? A lot more powerful than this Sunday, right? And I'm not dogging this. I'm not specifically saying this Sunday. But if we're on fire through the week and we come to Sunday, how much more different could that service be on our lives compared to the previous Sunday where we just got the fire built? Be in the Word of God. So you must root yourself in God's Word. You must allow Christ through His Holy Spirit to help us recognize and to help reject false teachings. There are people out there that will peddle. We know it as, complete blank. Those that preach about finance. Prosperity. Prosperity gospel, right? If you do this, God will bless you. If you do this, He'll give you this. If you do this, you'll have a mansion. Listen, that is false teaching. Period. It is important for you to understand who you are listening to. If you're listening to other pastors, which I full support because guess what? I do it as well. But know who you're listening to. Know what they're teaching and make sure that it is biblically grounded. We're going to find out how we do that here in just a second. The Holy Spirit will equip us to stand firm. The Holy Spirit will show us what those deceivers are, what messages are not true. No matter your experience or your background, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals truth to us. If Christ lives in us, if He is living here, we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of truth and the power to discern. It is not for just a few. It is for all. So if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the power to discern. You have been called, you have been equipped, and you have been empowered for the walk that Christ is leading you on. Discernment. Here's what discernment is for those that don't know. I've said it as common sense, but discernment is knowing the difference between what is true with what just sounds true. There's a difference. Discernment is knowing the difference between what is true and what just sounds true. It's staying close to Christ and standing on the unshakable ground of His Word. And when you cling to the Holy Scriptures, to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ Himself, when we cling to the real thing, guess what? The counterfeit becomes obvious. The counterfeit sticks out like a sore thumb. This is why we are to stay rooted in the Word, walk in the Spirit, and hold fast to the truth. This is how Scripture prescribes us that we discern. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This is John's second letter, but first one in this series that we have given 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." We don't have to live in fear of falsehood. You do not have to live in fear of wondering, am I listening to somebody? Am I getting pulled away? Is this pulling me off of course? Is this doing something that it shouldn't be doing in my life? It's not just about what's spotting what's false, but it's holding to what is true. If we hang on to what is true more than we try to decipher what is false, it takes care of itself, doesn't it? Because truth will reveal and make obvious that which is false. So hang on to the unchanging Word of God. Hang on to the truth of Christ Jesus. This is what keeps us faithful when the world sways. Notice, we're not going to get political, but let me just say this. Depending on what party is in power dictates what truth we believe. You follow that? We agree with that, right? This is the objective truth. Period. Everything else is subjective. This is objective. So to have discernment means that we are to walk in love and truth. We have to walk in love and truth in order to exercise this discernment. So where does this leave us? Where does this leave the church today? I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. If we want to be a church that stands firm, guess what? We need to walk in truth. We need to be anchored in that truth. We need to be driven by love, but also guarded by discernment. Truth goes before us and it lays the foundation. Love, it lives out what we know. And discernment keeps us on the course. But this isn't just about us, is it? It's not about us as Christians necessarily. It's about a lost world. It's about a broken community. It is about a generation that is desperate for hope. It is about knowing what is truth when out there you can make anything truth if you just believe it enough. This is the kind of faith that not only survives in a world full of shifting ideas, but it thrives, bearing witness to the unchanging Word of Christ. May I just read to you this morning? Can I go off my notes? We good with that? I'm going off my notes. I read this morning. You got to give me a second to find it here. Well, this is awkward, isn't it? Thank you for being patient. I got to find what verse it is. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Acts chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. Listen, you got to go read the first part of Acts 5 to understand what this is, okay, for context. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. What I am saying here, if it is of God, it will not fail. There is a reason we are centuries past, and this is still what guides us today. Subjective truth, we have seen that come and go through all of our lives, all the changes, and this is the truth. If it is of God, it will not fail. But it doesn't stop at the altar. It doesn't stop at the church doors. It doesn't stop because we do it well here. What is our mission? Engaging our community for Jesus. It is very clear. This means that we live out the truth. Joel, if you want to come on up. This means that we are living out the truth. It means that we are walking in love and we are standing firm in discernment. We are keeping our guard, not just here, not just on Sunday morning when we're all dressed up and we look nice and we've got our faces, everything. It is okay if your life is chaotic. You want to hear about my day yesterday? Just for the sake of just keeping you here just a little bit longer. I woke up yesterday morning. I had a charge to my Apple card in the amount of $459. I did not place a $459 order. Started digging into it. It was to the Apple store. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because I didn't buy anything from Apple. So I went to my email. Do you know what I found in my email yesterday morning? I had been subscribed to every government agency, federal government agency, every Ohio government agency, every California government agency. I had hundreds of government agency emails, and tucked right below that was an Apple Store email confirming my purchase of an Apple Watch 10. So whoever this was bombarded me with emails to try to cover up the truth that they had ordered. And would you know, the delivery address was right down in Oskaloosa at the Fairfield Inn. Doesn't tell me the name. They used my name. They used my email. They used my Apple card. But when I'd click on the order number, it would say that the Apple ID associated with this order is not the one that you are currently signed in with. So somebody was trying to commit fraud yesterday. Do you know that I reached out to Apple and I said, "Hey, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. Cancel this order. It's not me." Would you know that I had to talk to like 6 people before I got that order canceled? But if I was actually the one that ordered that, guess what? I could cancel it without any problem. But it literally, how much time did I spend on this yesterday? Too much time. So look, guess what? It's okay if you have days that are chaotic. At the end of the day, guess what? Jesus is still enough. the truth will always be uncovered. I don't know who it was that ordered. Frankly, I would have liked to keep the order, and I would have just followed the UPS truck there, and I would have said, "Hi, my name's Mike, whose name is on this package. Who are you?" They tried to order an Apple Watch, and I was about to foot the bill. But thankfully, I watch what gets charged to my account. And so, to say all of that, just simply, it is okay if things are not going the way that you want it to. It is okay if things are hard. Walk in truth, walk in love, and have some discernment. So the same Spirit that empowers us, He doesn't just empower us for service here in the church. He sends us out. He sends us into our families, our workplaces, our schools and neighborhoods. This is what I call your sphere of influence. The Holy Spirit sends us into this. So church, can we be the church beyond Sundays? Can we be the church that goes beyond these four walls on Sunday? Let's live lives that speak the gospel loud. Let's let everything we do testify of who Jesus is in our life. Because guess what? People are watching you. People are looking to you, and eternity is at stake. What gospel are they receiving from you? This is our calling. This is our mission. And this is how we engage our community for Jesus. John's letter to the elect lady wasn't to the woman, but we understand it was to the church and the members of the church. And would you know that the church is the chosen bride of Christ? How are we represented in gospel? We are the bride of Christ. So we are the bride. We are the chosen bride. We are raising sons and daughters. We are raising individuals up in this church. We are discipling. We have Sunday school. We're doing all the things. And just like the church is called to nurture and disciple, there are many mothers sitting in here today who have done the very same thing. You have nurtured. You have discipled. You have brought them up. Whether it be biologically or spiritually, you've had a play in somebody's life and their development. So today, women, mothers, we honor you. We honor your service, your love, your compassion for your children. You have prayed, you have discipled, you have spoken life. Maybe you've taken on what wasn't even yours to take on. You stood firm in truth. And you walked in love when it wasn't easy. Mothers, you are living legacies. You are helping shape the next generation to walk in truth. Because you first showed them how, you have left a legacy that they know how to walk. So today, mothers, we celebrate each and every one of you. We celebrate you. Not just for the title. Because the title, let's be honest, can be meaningless. What we honor you today is the impact of your walk. The impact that your life has had on those that call you mom. So let's be that kind of church. Let's be that kind of church that John refers to. Children that are chosen, grounded in truth, filled with love, and committed to walking it out for the next generation to follow. Can we be that kind of church this morning? Would you stand to your feet this morning? If you would, just take a moment, bow your head, close your eyes. This is the most important part of this entire day. My question to you this morning is, are you walking in truth? Are you walking in truth, or are you just walking through life? Are you walking in the truth and love of Christ Jesus, or are you just making it by? You're not sure which way's up, down, and what's happening. Listen, truth is not a theory. It is a person. And that person is Christ Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus left heaven. He was born of a virgin. He died for your sins. He rose again. He is the only way to the Father. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This isn't just a general call. Jesus died for you personally. You understand that this morning. Jesus died for you personally, for this moment right now. He saw your brokenness. He saw your sin. He saw your need for a Savior, and He willingly laid down His life for you. So today the call is this, is you can accept Him. You can receive Him. You can commit your life to Him and walk in His truth. If that's you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that speaks to you this morning, you're ready to step into relationship with Christ Jesus, would you just raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Amen. And listen, maybe we've already given our life to Jesus. Maybe you've had a relationship with Him, but you know that you've drifted. Who knows the drift? I think we've all experienced a drift in some point in our life. Maybe your love has grown cold, or maybe your discernment has been replaced by distraction. This morning, today is your moment. Jesus didn't save you to survive, but to walk in truth, to live in love, and to be filled with power. So I know it's Mother's Day. I know we've all got to go, but come to the well that leads us where we're never thirsty. Come and be filled by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, and let Him renew your love, your truth, and your discernment.